Oh, wow. What a great way to lead right into our lesson. I tell you what, it is... good morning, church. I forgot to say what I was supposed to say there. It is good to be with you and good to be together, as always. So thankful for your presence. Thankful for a lot of things this morning. Thankful that we are, you know, indoors. Thankful that we have such a great place to be together. Thankful we have such an amazing worship leader. Although, and Tommy, I'm not trying to make you paranoid or anything, but I heard Gwen Davis was scouting earlier this week at Andrea Pacelli. He is interested in also leading singing at Forest Mill. That's just a rumor. But she went to see him earlier this week. I know we are really blessed to have not only Tommy, but to have the men who've been leading us this morning and encouraging us. It's just been a good morning to be together. Well, what do you think of when you hear the word incarnation, the incarnation? What do you think of? Well, if you're like 99% of us, 99% of the time, we think about, you know, God becoming one of us. We think about God in the flesh, God in the person of Jesus Christ, God with skin on, right? That's what incarnation means. It is God putting skin on. That's the unique and powerful fundamental truth of our faith, that God came down to earth and put on skin to be like one of us, that God would identify with our human, broken, fallen condition by becoming one of us. God made it so that even though he is so much bigger, so much greater, so much holier, so much more than us, he made it so that we could personally know him, because God became a person. That's the amazing thing about the incarnation. Well, we are wrapping up this. This is the last of our series on the rule of life, and we've been talking about this since early January. And the last thing we want to talk about is living incarnationally. So what do you think it means to live incarnationally? Well, let me tell you a story. One day, St. Francis of Assisi, he invited this younger monk to go with him on a trip to town to preach, and the young monk was very honored. Even in his own lifetime, St. Francis of Assisi was known as a really godly man. He'd done a lot of amazing things. We talked about him earlier. And so this young monk was really amazed that he was being invited to go along on this trip, and so honored that. So he quickly accepted, and all day long, he and St. Francis walked through the streets, and they rubbed shoulders, and they visited with just really hundreds of people, everyone they sort of encountered. And at the end of the day, they came back home. But not even once had St. Francis talked to anyone about the gospel. And so the young monk was really disappointed, because he's seen all the amazing things that St. Francis has done. He's like, you know, he asked him, he said, I thought we were going to town to preach, right? And St. Francis responded, he said, my son, we have preached. We were preaching when we were walking. We were seen by many, and our behavior was closely watched. It is of no use to walk anywhere to preach unless we preach everywhere as we walk. And it's also St. Francis who gave us this famous quote. He said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, sometimes use words. Essentially, what living incarnationally means is that we want every aspect of our lives, from the mundane times to all the way to our, you know, spiritual worship and gatherings, we want everything to be an expression of our faith, that every moment can be a part of living life with and for God. So whether we're washing dishes, or we're cutting the lawn, or we're going to work, or we're on a spiritual retreat, or we're deep in prayer, or we're gathered with the church, whatever we're doing, all of these things are seen as living out our faith. St. Paul, the Apostle Paul, put it this way. He says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Now, I bet you've heard that verse before. You may have seen it and heard sermons preached on it in the classes and everything. But when you start thinking about whatever you do, do it to the glory of God, that's so different That is so, well, it's really difficult too, but it is so different from the way our culture, the way that our world thinks about and talks about and teaches about their faith or their spirituality. Because in our world, your faith or your spirituality is completely separate from everything else. Everything is sort of compartmentalized. And so it's like a fish in tackle box. Maybe you've had one of those or you've at least seen one of those and how you've got all these little different compartments in a tackle box, right? And so you've got a separate compartment for each little thing. And over here, I have all my work stuff. All my work stuff goes in this little compartment over here. And down here, that's all my family stuff. My family stuff is there. And then back there in this part is, this is where my hobbies and my interests are, or how I spend my free time. And there, right there in the back, that is my faith stuff. That's all my faith stuff is back there. And they're all kept separate and apart, like the Lord's Supper, we used to say, is separate and apart from everything else we do. It's not integrated with the rest of our life. There's a famous American pastor and author, and his name was A.W. Tozer. And you may have heard his name. He certainly was a big influence on the church in America. And he once wrote, he said, "One of the greatest hindrances to eternal peace which the Christian encounters is the common habit of dividing our lives into two areas, the sacred and the secular." And he goes on to say, he said, "Paul's exhortation to do all to the glory of God is more than pious idealism. It opens before us the possibility of making every act of our lives contribute to the glory of God." Now, I fully realize, like A.W. Tozer, I know what this sounds like. I know this all sounds good. In fact, I would argue it sounds too good, as in too good to really be true, that this doesn't actually happen. Nobody actually does this. This is pie in the sky idealism, so good that it's just, you know, it's unrealistic because nobody really does this. But that's not the way that the earliest Christians thought about living incarnationally. It's not the way that they taught about living as Christ. Listen to the way the Apostle Paul talks to the Colossian church. He tells them, we're going just to give you a setup for this passage. He tells them all the stuff they got to take off. He says, look, you've got to get rid of all your anger and your rage and your malice. And he's telling them all these things they've got to get rid of, right? It's bad attitudes, bad habits, bad practices, all these things they've got to get rid of. But then he goes on to say, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive each other. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. What Paul's saying here is that being a follower of Jesus Christ is not just about church on Sunday morning. It's not just about your doctrine of the Holy Trinity. It's not just about how you say your prayers, whether you say in modern English or King James English. It's not just about whether you go to a Christian college or a state school. It's not just about whether you say your prayers before you sit down to eat your meals, right? That it's more than putting money in the offering plate. It's more than our times of prayer. Being a follower of Jesus is about our attitudes. It's about putting on Christ-like virtues all the time. And he uses the phrase, clothe yourselves. Because this is something that you do on a daily basis. I'll bet we all have really different lives, but I bet pretty well every day you clothe yourselves. If you don't raise your hand. But pretty well every day we all clothe ourselves with something. Right? Maybe you've got a lazy day and you can just go around in pajamas and a sweatshirt, and that's great. But every day we clothe ourselves with something. And that's why we call it incarnational, because it's just about what we do every day. It's about our daily lives. Living incarnationally is a visible, tangible expression of living out our faith in our world. That the person I am on Sunday morning is the same person I am on Monday morning, the same person I am on on Saturday and when I'm with my family and friends, that I am Jesus wherever I go. It's not telling the world to go to Jesus. Now, that's all well and good. In fact, that's, I would say, the more prevalent practice is Christians looking at our world because it's fallen and it's broken. There's people living in sin. And we see people who are doing things that are contrary to God, and they're saying things that are contrary to God, and that comes out in politics, it comes out in education, it comes out in all these things. We'd see all these things, we're like, oh, this is just so anti-God. You people need Jesus. But that's not what living incarnationally is. It is not telling people to go to God. It is taking God to the people. And that's what Jesus did. It is being Jesus to the world, not criticizing the world because they don't know Jesus. Living incarnationally is not about right religion. It's about right living. And so that's what the Apostle Paul's telling the church there in Colossae. He says, take Jesus to the world wherever you go. This book's called The Monday Morning Church by Jerry Cook. He's got a great quote. And he says, you're not called so much to do great things as to be a great person, and that person is Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ is the resident presence of Jesus in the world. Church of Jesus Christ is the resident presence of Jesus in the world. That's the foundational principle of incarnational Christianity. It's not about getting people to God, it is about getting Jesus to them. And that is the single greatest form of teaching we can do, because it's our words, it's our attitudes, it's our actions, it is the living of our everyday life. And by all of these things, the Spirit of Christ is incarnated in us, is living in us. If Jesus was the incarnation of God, if Jesus was God putting skin on, you and I are the reincarnation, because we're doing it just like Jesus. That was the whole point of the book of Acts. The book of the Gospels was about how the Holy Spirit filled Jesus and Jesus changed the world. And the book of Acts is how the Holy Spirit filled the apostles and they too, like Jesus, changed the world. And now here we are, we're like Acts part 2. We're living out the church today. Thousands of years later, still in this same position of being Jesus to the world. So when we're going back to the idea of building a rule of life, we can think back on all the previous things that we've talked about. And these are the four things we've talked about previously, how when you're building a way of living, a pattern of living that helps shape you to become more and more like Christ, we've got to practice prayer and solitude. Talked about that 1 week. We talked about living by the Spirit, about listening to that still small voice of the Spirit to guide us in our everyday life. We talked about practicing social justice, right? About making sure that the justice of God is visible in the world. We talked about number 4 last week. We talked about sharing boldly our faith with those we encounter, those who are Christians, those who are not Christians, about being a voice for faith in Jesus Christ. We've talked about all those things. Then we get to this last one about living incarnationally, and it's sort of a good way to sum up all of the earlier ones. It's a good way of saying, you know, in everything you do and everywhere you go, you be Jesus. It's a good final step, because it reminds us that it's all about giving glory to God in our everyday lives, that every part of our lives is lived to the glory of God, that just as Jesus was the incarnation, we are the reincarnation, because we're carrying that same torch. We are practicing that same sort of life. We are becoming the new incarnation of Jesus in the world. That's what we talked about. In fact, we talked about it this morning, even in our Lord's Supper, about the body of Christ. And of course, Christ did. He had a physical body, right? Skin and hair and everything that goes with having a human body, he absolutely has that. And I don't think it's any accident that the teaching surrounding the body of Christ quickly transitions from just a physical human body to the church being the body of Christ. Yesterday morning, I had the I got to do one of the devotionals for Upward, and I had some kids come down front, some of our kids even, and we did a quick game of Simon Says, and we talked about how it's amazing that, you know, the body just does exactly what the head wants it to do, and that's when everything's working right, that's what it does. And here you and I are, we're the body of Christ. And very quickly, we sometimes realize that what Christ wants us to do, we're not ready and willing and capable of doing. But what living incarnationally says is that whatever the head says, whatever Christ says, that's what the body will do in following suit. That we will be the body of Christ to the world. So my prayer for you, my prayer for us as a congregation is that as we build our rule of life, as we are becoming more and more into the form of Jesus Christ, we may live that out as an expression in our everyday lives. May God bless you in the study of His Word this morning. And if we can pray for you, encourage you to baptize you into Christ, put on the righteousness of Christ and take off those filthy rags, be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can hear that still small voice in your everyday living. Be brought into the family of God, a family that lasts forever. If we can help you with that this morning, won't you come now as we stand and as we sing?